Good morning. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Exodus chapter 5. We've got a little bit of unfinished business today in the fifth chapter of Exodus. And then we will go into chapter 6 and also some of chapter 7. We continue verse by verse through the book of Exodus. Lord God, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time we saw that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he commissioned him to go down to Egypt and to lead his people out of captivity. And God told Moses what to say and what to do in front of Pharaoh, so Moses did that. Pharaoh did not listen. In fact, he made life worse for the slaves. So with that little bit of background, we come to verse 22 of Exodus chapter 5. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? Moses did everything God told him to do. Moses said everything God told him to say. Moses would like to cancel this mission right now because he doesn't understand why things are getting worse instead of better. If you've ever found yourself in that situation, you try to be faithful. You try to do the right thing. And things get worse instead of better. Always remember, the problem is not a lack of wisdom or goodness on God's part. The problem is a lack of understanding on your part. You see, that's when we have to bear down, continue to serve Jesus, and trust God more than ever. That is what Moses will have to do. Verse 23, he continues, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. Moses is kind of upset. He's saying, Lord, I've kept my end of this deal. I've done everything you've told me to do. But you seem to be falling short on your end. You know, Moses is speaking as if God promised him smooth sailing all the way. God never promised that at all. God said, Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, and he will not let you go until, I should say, he will not let the Israelites go until I pry them out of his hand. So I don't know why Moses is surprised by these difficulties. And by the way, speaking of difficulties, difficulties are not setbacks when we walk with the Lord. God never endures a setback. He always uses difficulties to further his plan. Now keep that in mind the next time you're going through one. Chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Moses feels like a failure because the king did not release the Hebrews. Consequently, God says, watch what I will do, Moses, because I will force Pharaoh to set my people free. Look at the last part of verse 1. God says, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. In other words, Pharaoh won't just let the people go. He will drive them out. The king is going to be so worn out from God's wrath that he will drive the Hebrews out of the country. Always remember, those who will not bend to the will of God will be broken by the power of God. That's what's going to happen to the king of Egypt. Verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I'm using the New King James Version today, but whether you're using the New King James or the King James, whenever you see the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that refers to God's name, Jehovah. And Jehovah isn't just his name. It is also a description of God. And it means the God who finishes what he starts and does what he says. Boy, did the Israelites and Moses need to be reminded that God is Jehovah. Because God promised the Hebrews that he would set them free. And you see, the setbacks that they have experienced do not mean that he has changed his mind. They do not mean that God took on more than he could handle. God will do what he said, because that's the type of God he is. God will get them out of Egypt because of his promise. God's word settles every matter. The written word of God puts an end to all debates. Verse 4. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. In other words, God says, the Holy Land is Israel's because I promised it to them. And neither Egypt nor anyone else can prevent me from keeping my promise to my people. And this was just another way for God to say, trust me, Moses, I know it looks bleak, but trust me, I'm going to get the people out of Egypt because I got to get them into the promised land. Verse 5, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. God is eternal. God is unchangeable. He keeps his promises. No plan of his can be thwarted, the Bible says. However, God isn't just an unstoppable power. He is also a compassionate God who sympathizes with his people when they are suffering. And so it's true, God is moved by his promises, he is moved by his words, he is moved by his power, he is moved by his wisdom, he is moved by his justice, but he is also moved by compassion. Our God is a good-hearted God. Verse 6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. The Israelites are beaten down and very discouraged. They've been slaves, mistreated for many, many years, and now things have just gotten worse. They need assurance that God will get them out of Egypt just as he said he would. And so he gives them that assurance. He gives them his word once again. Every Christian who suffers needs hope. Believing God's promises brings hope. Nothing else does. God always eventually rescues his people from lousy situations. That's what the Word of God teaches, and that should bring hope. Verse 7, God says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Stop there. And really, that's all they or anyone else needs. When God is our God, and we are his people, everything else has a way of falling into place. Look at 7 through 9. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they would not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. God's people had been beaten down and discouraged for so long that the word of God wasn't registering. It just wasn't sinking in. As wonderful as the news was from God, it wasn't sinking in. Discouraged Christians need the word of God more than ever. When you are so down and so discouraged or so sad that the word of God doesn't seem to penetrate your soul, here's what you do. You keep reading. You force yourself to keep reading. Eventually, it will sink in. But don't quit. You see, the shell of discouragement, which covers a poor soul, is often very hard and very thick. But if the word of God continues to hit it, eventually, that word will penetrate and destroy that shell, and you will be encouraged by God's word. But you can't quit. Verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go in, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he must let the children of Israel go out of his land. In other words, do it again, Moses. And this would be the same message that Moses brought to Pharaoh the first time. He is giving the king another chance. And you are listening to one man who is very glad that God is patient. Because if God didn't give second chances, and often a whole lot more, then I would be in hell today. And so God will give Pharaoh a second chance. Actually, God will give Pharaoh several more chances, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And let's stop right here and take our break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. At this time of the year, I recall the days when my sons were in track. Good memories, warmer weather, springtime. Young people full of life and athletic ability. I remember the relay races and the passing of the batons. In a sense, it's a picture of our time here on earth. No one can live this life for us. We must live and experience it as individuals. We all have a turn carrying the baton, living life, doing our part. And when we do it with joy, serving those around us and leaning on the grace of God, it can be a good run. Run your race with thanksgiving and praise before it's your turn to pass on the baton. This is By the Way.
We are back. You're listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. Would you please pray about becoming a partner with me in this ministry of getting the Word of God out? I will not promise you health and wealth, as some ministers, so-called, do today. And they're very popular, and they get a lot of offerings, you know. But it's all built upon a lie. They're very popular. They're very wealthy. I can't promise you that, because God won't promise you that. But I will promise you that you, if you help get out the Word of God, and you know that's all we do here, is teach the Bible verse by verse. If you help get out the Word of God, then you will have a reward in heaven, because you will be pleasing God, and you will be doing exactly what God tells His people to do. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know that's God's command. So we know that if we're involved in doing that, we are pleasing to the Lord. So prayerfully consider being a part of this ministry, would you? Your prayers, your financial support are greatly appreciated. You can write Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thanks. And now, Exodus chapter 6, verse 12. God once again has told Moses, go in and tell Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. Verse 12, and Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. You know, Moses is really hung up on his speech problem. He blames himself and his lack of ability, his lack of eloquence, for what he perceives as a failure. The Israelites are still slaves. He blames himself. Things have not gone the way he hoped. God's will is not being accomplished as he thinks it should be. So he blames himself. He doesn't feel like he's doing a good job as God's spokesman. Well, remember this. None of us have what it takes to do what God wants. None of us. But none of us should focus on what we don't have. We must focus on what God can do, even when he has nothing to work with. That's what Moses needs to think about. Moses needs to focus on what God can do through a weak vessel, rather than the fact that he is a weak vessel. And by the way, when things don't go the way you wish they would, and the way you believe God would want them to go, don't be so quick to blame yourself completely. I'm not saying don't examine your conscience to see if you haven't done something wrong. That's something that we should always do. But don't blame yourself completely. Don't be so quick to do that. Because there are many things which contribute to situations. And many of those things are spiritual in nature, and whether we realize it or not, involve other people's walk with the Lord. And often involve demonic activity. Just do your best. Here's what you do. Do your best. Pray, confess any perceived sins, and most importantly, trust in God's sovereignty. He hasn't lost control of the situation, even when things aren't going the way you think they should. Verse 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And I like God here. Moses, once again, he says, you know, I just can't do it, Lord. I'm not very eloquent. And God completely ignored Moses' objection this time. Didn't even respond to it. He has already said everything he needed to say about that man's weaknesses. He's not going to answer the same objections again. He's been down this road already. So he just ignores Moses and he gives him the command. And there does come a time when you and I as Christians have to quit talking about the what ifs and the I can'ts and the maybe some days and simply step out and obey God right now. Do what you know he wants you to do. And now, let's skip all the way down to verse 26. I'm not going to read 14 through 25 because they are just a list of names, the ancestors of Moses and Aaron. So all the way down to verse 26, these are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, they spoke to the king. And the Bible says they spoke in the name of the Lord. They were sent by God, and they spoke the word of God, they proclaimed God's message. The Word of God is what they spoke, and the Word of God is effective all by itself. God's Word does not need to be enhanced by our intellect or our ability to put together a good argument. If people are open to truth, they will receive the Word of God. If they aren't open to truth, then there's nothing beyond God's Word that will convince them. Verse 28, and it came to pass on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you, all that I say to you, not any more, not any less. Moses did not have to be creative. He did not have to come up with a plan. All he had to do was say exactly what God told him to say. If he does that, then he has done his job. If that's not good enough for Pharaoh, if the word of God isn't good enough for Pharaoh to be convinced to obey the Lord, then let him go to hell. Let him be damned. Because if people will not honor the holy word of God, then that is exactly what they deserve. If people will not obey God and receive his mercy through his son, Jesus Christ, then that is exactly what they deserve. That is what scripture teaches. Verse 30. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? Well, there he goes again. It's true, Moses is just a humble shepherd and a poor speaker. And it's true that Pharaoh is surrounded by highly educated counselors and eloquent speakers. But Moses seems to be forgetting that he will have God at his side and that he will be speaking the word of God. And that makes Moses more important than any of those other people. When you speak the word of God, you don't have to be intimidated by anyone. When you stick to the Bible, the words of Scripture, you don't have to be intimidated by anyone. Chapter 7. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. In other words, Moses will command the king of Egypt like God. If Pharaoh does not obey, then Moses will call down punishment like God. If Pharaoh wants relief, he will have to petition Moses as one would petition God. Moses is God's representative, his ambassador before the king of Egypt. Verse 2, you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh that he must send the children of Israel out of the land. And again, God stresses to Moses, only say what I tell you to say. In other words, do not adjust my words, Moses. Moses cannot use words that Pharaoh may feel more comfortable with. Moses cannot water down the ugliness of Egypt's sin or the commands of God so that maybe Pharaoh isn't quite so irritated or offended. He cannot do that. Moses has no right to do those sorts of things to God, and neither does any preacher today. No preacher has a right to water down the word of God to make it less offensive to ungodly sinners. No preacher has a right to say that sin is a behavior disorder, for example, or a dysfunction. No, God has already defined it. It is sin. No preacher has the right to use less offensive terms than God himself uses to soften the message and make it more palatable to unworthy moral reprobates. Verse 3. God says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Stop there for a second. See, wait a minute. Hold it. God will harden Pharaoh's heart and then send him to hell for not repenting? You bet he will. That is exactly what God will do, but only after the king says no to God so many times that his heart is already as hard as a rock. So in reality, by the time God hardens his heart, all he is doing is giving him exactly what he wants, which is eternity without God. 3. God says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. The Egyptians will know that the God of Moses is the one true God after the Lord forces them to do something they would never do otherwise, which is to let the Hebrew slaves go." Verse 6, "Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did." In verse 7, "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying," verse 9, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Show a miracle for yourselves,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent.' Pharaoh will not ask for a sign, because he wants to believe, but he just needs a little help, you know. That's not why he wants a sign. He will ask for a sign, hoping that Moses will not deliver, because if Moses cannot produce a sign proving to back up his command to let the Israelites go free, well, then the king's going to feel more comfortable in his rebellion." Verse 10, "So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." You know, throwing down that staff so that it would become a serpent took faith on the part of Moses and Aaron. It didn't take faith to make it happen. It took faith to throw it down. You know, that particular miracle worked real well on Mount Sinai when God told Moses to do it. But here he's doing it in front of a live audience and a very hostile audience. And if Moses does not believe that God will turn that thing into a serpent, he doesn't throw down that staff. After all, he would look awful foolish if it remained a stick after it hit the ground. But God came through for Moses. And always remember this: when we by faith do the right thing for God, he will always do the right thing for us. Verse 11. "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents." Stop there. The devil can do miracles. He's doing one right here. Any miracle that promotes ungodliness or something that is unscriptural is a lying wonder from the devil. Verse 13, "And Pharaoh's heart grew hard." Well, actually, the last part of verse 12, "But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said." I suppose, since his two magicians turned their staffs into snakes, the king felt comfortable continuing in his rebellion. And the fact that they were swallowed by the serpent belonging to Moses didn't seem to bother him, which isn't surprising, because people who love their sin find it very easy to rationalize truth away so that they feel comfortable in the rebellion. That's exactly what he's doing. If you want to contact me, you can. Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. You can email versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Or you can call 715-845-8298. 715-845-8298. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.